Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us with the information given by the announcer, or you can email me directly. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Again, the address is preacher@eastalbertville.org, and East Albertville is one word. It's in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah dealt with situations that seemingly never go away. In Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll not read the 14 verses in their entirety at the moment because of the time that it would take, but we'll be looking there, and if you have the opportunity to have your Bibles, then certainly we hope that you will leave them open as we point out verses as we go along in our study. You know, we're warned by the apostles that there will be those, as for instance in Romans 16 and verse 18, that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. I got an article the other day from a good friend of mine, and he said, I heard the other day a mature Christian indicate that the best gospel preachers were the ones that preached without making anybody mad. And he made the statement that nothing could be further from the truth, and to that statement I agree. He said it's easy to preach to not make anyone mad. Just be careful to avoid saying anything that your audience disagrees with. In other words, avoid stepping on your audience's toes. And so that's what we have here in the scriptures. Seemingly the trend today is to preach and to teach in such a way as not to make a person feel uncomfortable that sits in the pew, and that everybody should be able to leave the assembly feeling good about themselves. Many today are crying for the same kind of things that Israel of old asked for when it said of the Lord's people in Isaiah 30 and verse 10, which say to the seer, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know, who would have ever thought that God's own chosen people would have had such an attitude as this toward God and toward His Word? In essence, what they're really saying is, don't tell us the truth. We don't want to hear it. Things really haven't changed much, have they? What was the problem then, and what's the problem today? Well, the problem then was that they were rebellious. In Isaiah chapter 30, notice what we have and can read here, beginning with verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 9. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And then verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. In fact, Stephen made the charge in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51 when he was speaking to the audience there. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. You know, when people want to rebel against the Lord's will, they'll demand smooth things to be taught. And we're seeing that being done today in a lot of places. Another thing is that they did not take the counsel of God. We read that in Isaiah 30 verse 1, but also there was a statement made in Hosea's day in Hosea 4 and verse 12. My people asked knowledge at their stocks, and that refers to a piece of wood, and their staff, and that of course was a walking stick, declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. See, what's being described here is that instead of asking God, These people were asking a piece of wood, their stocks, their staffs. Can you imagine God's people talking to a stick instead of God? Perhaps their stocks declared smooth things to them. But also, what we can see as well is that they rejected knowledge. Hosea, being the prophet, in chapter 4 and verse 6 said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou mayest not be priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." See, these people simply did not want to hear what God had to say. Those that Paul was describing of the Gentiles in Romans 1, remember he said in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." See, people today that desire to hear smooth things, they don't want to hear the whole counsel of God preached. And that truly is sad. We know in 2 Timothy that we can read in the 4th chapter these words at beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Timothy said, or Paul said to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So it is then that people haven't really changed all that much. They still do not want to hear all of what God's word has to say. And so they seek out and find those that will teach them the things that they want to hear. So they reject the knowledge of God. We know another thing that Israel did was that they set up kings to rule over them. You know, at one time, God's form of government for his people were that of the judges. God ruled over Israel during the time of the patriarchs with the heads of the family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others. Then it was during that period of time that God sent forth his word to the people through the prophet Moses, through Joshua as they went into the land of Canaan and possessed it. But then it wasn't long after Joshua that the people, God set up judges to judge them and to deliver them from their oppressors. And this went on for several hundred years until finally the people looking around at the nations around about them saw that these nations had kings, and that's what they wanted. They set up kings to rule them. But the people grew tired of the judges, and they cried out for a king to rule over them. We read all about this in 1 Samuel 8. We won't take the time to read verses 1 through 8, but make a note and read it at yourself at times. What they were saying was, "We want to be like the other people around us. We want to hear what they hear. We want to do what they do." Think about that. Doesn't that sound all too familiar? And another thing, they wanted Isaiah and the other prophets, of course, to turn aside and just simply get out of their way. It's in Isaiah chapter 30 that we read verse 11. "Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." I mean, language can't get no plainer as to what they were saying to Isaiah. The same thing was said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6, verses 10 through 16. And again, we can't take the time due to a lack of time to read and study it. But sometimes when you're studying the Bible, read Jeremiah 6, verses 10 through 16. It was Jesus that made the statement in John 14 and verse 6 when he said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But see, if you just read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know that what Jesus had to go through. He came unto his own. And what happened? His own received him not. So it is then that even Jesus suffered the same rejection that the prophets of old that were sent to Israel in the Old Testament. It was a statement that Jesus made too in Matthew 7 when he said in verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. See what Jesus is saying here? He's saying there's only two gates that we can pass through, and there's only two pathways that are to be walked in this life. He says we're to enter the straight gate. That word straight means narrow. It means difficult. It's not the straight, which means a straight line, but straight, and that means difficult. It means restricted. That's the gate that we have to enter through. It's not a gate that we can just bring whatever we, you know. You hear this statement in the religious world, come as you are. Well, that's the wide gate. And what did Jesus say about the wide gate? Jesus says the wide gate leads down the broad way, where anything goes, where everything goes. But he says that leads to destruction. But there's another thing he said about this wide gate and this broad way. Many will go in thereat. This is the way that the majority is going. And then he says that again, straight is the gate, that is narrow, restricted. We're going to have to set aside our will and submit to God's will. That's what's going to make it straight, and that's what's going to make it narrow and difficult. But he says that past the straight gate, then we must follow the narrow way. And narrow means we have to be cautious. People want to throw caution to the wind today. But we can't maintain a walk on the narrow way and throw caution to the wind. We have to restrict. We have to comply. We have to obey the commandments of God. But notice what he says about this way. He says it leads to life. But another thing he says, there are few that travel it. Another thing about what we see in Isaiah's day was that they despised God's way. Isaiah 30, verse 12. Wherefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay therein. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. So he sees then that they despised God's way, and he reminded them again of what was stated, and we read it a moment ago in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Today people are designed to be taught smooth things. No insistence on an absolute truth. Whatever the matter might be, you know, whether it comes to the church, whether it comes to our personal lives, they seemingly really prefer to be deceived and to be led astray. Friends, let us not. Let us instead be insistent on hearing and obeying the truth. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.